Hello, everyone. Welcome to week five of the Take the Points podcast. I'm Tom Zeleznok here in Hartford. I'm live via Skype with Dan Partridge in Phoenix. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, Z. How are we holding up today?
Not great, Dan. I should let the listeners know that the reason I probably sound like Kermit the Frog is because I am very sick. My throat was completely closed up this morning, but it's gotten slightly opened just in time for the podcast.
Close enough.
Yeah. And then another bad thing that I should mention is I had to go to a wedding on Saturday. I don't know if that's a bad thing, but in terms of college football, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I want to tell the audience right up front that I don't know shit about this week. I don't know what happened last week. I haven't studied the lines for this week. I mean, I've looked at them, but I don't have the necessary information. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to use my raspy voice to get through some lines, and we're going to throw it to Dan for his always expert knowledge. That's all right. You know better than me anyway, so I'm just here for comic relief.
Maybe.
Well, thanks for the ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. So before we get into the lines, we want to start with a little short recap of last Saturday. Let's start with last Thursday, which is Auburn edging out K-State. This is a game I did see. Auburn, you know, they, as expected by us, not by the rest of America, but as we predicted on last week's podcast, Auburn kind of struggled. They won the game. They had it in hand, even though K-State scored at the end. I would say Auburn was the better team in that game. K-State did make some mistakes, including the three missed field goals. To me, Auburn should have won the game. K-State could have gotten lucky, but I don't think you can make a strong argument that K-State was a better team than Auburn, but what do you think?
No, I also agree. That's a really hard spot for Auburn to play in Manhattan, Kansas. It's Kansas State's Super Bowl. It's a good win for Auburn. It doesn't matter by how many points. They're a great team. Now they're coming back home, playing all their games down south. I love them to run the table.
Good. And I say, well, good. We'll get back to that in a second. But I'd like to say that it was a good loss, if there is such a thing for K-State. I had them picked at somewhere in the middle of the Big 12, and they really performed pretty tough against what we think is the best team in the country. So I would be encouraged if I was a Kansas State fan. Yeah, you blew some opportunities. Maybe you could have won, but it looks like you're going to maybe compete for the Big 12, at least to get in the top three. So you should be encouraged that what could have been a mediocre year is starting to snap into focus and get better.
Absolutely. I agree.
Let's go back to you saying run the table. Now, according to my super unofficial rankings, I have Auburn as the third hardest schedule in the country and the hardest schedule in the country for any team that actually has a chance to, you know, be ranked at the end of the year.
Well, yeah, but
feel free to respond.
So first of all, next week Auburn has LSU, and you know, people thought, you know, that'd be a spot where they would lose for sure. LSU has major problems on their defensive line. Mississippi State totally exploited them. If you can't hold up on Mississippi State's offensive running game, watch out for Auburn. They will eat you alive. I love Auburn, as you know, and I think that they haven't even played as good as they can yet. And I expect them to peak in about a month, but until then, they'll just keep winning. And yeah, it's going to be a hard road, but I think they can do it.
So you've picked them since the very beginning. I'll let people know this is not a bandwagon pick. You were on Auburn in the national championship. You can listen back to our first podcast of the year and see this. I was not so thrilled. I had Alabama in the playoff and Auburn just missing out. But after a couple weeks, I came on board. Now I've got Auburn in the playoff, in the final, and I think they'll probably win if they can accomplish that, if they can just get in.
Yeah,
my concern
sure.
is the schedule, which is just killer.
Yeah.
But that's why they play the games. We'll see. Let's move along to maybe the most high-profile game of the week, which was FSU-Clemson. I'm just going to throw it to you because I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, very interesting game, especially with the Winston went from half game to full game suspension. The quarterback from Florida State, he had confidence. It was a hard spot for him. Clemson played really well. You know, Clemson's got a really, really fantastic offensive coordinator. They got a smart, you know, head coach over there. And it was a great game, and Clemson actually should have won the game. You know, it was just a weird play at the end of the game with the fumble. But it was a very interesting ending, and it would have been even more interesting to see what would have happened if Florida State would have lost without Winston. If pollsters would have moved him only down a couple spots or five or six or, you know, I think if Florida State would have lost that game without Winston and still ran the table, they probably would make it to the playoff. But, they always find a way to win. They're just a very smart team, well-coached, and it was a great game.
So I didn't get to watch much of the game due to the wedding, but I do have a couple of thoughts. First off is, after I heard that Jameis Winston was suspended for a half, the line dropped to 16 points. I put some money on Florida State because I figured, who cares? He's out for a half. They'll keep it close, probably be up at 3 at halftime, and then Winston will come in and dominate Clemson as per usual. I was very dismayed, Dan, to learn when I woke up on Saturday morning after I had already placed a bet that Jameis Winston would be sitting out the entire game. I feel that I should get my money back.
Nope.
That's a scam.
Well, you know, you may have got hosed there, but I, you know, went to Vegas last year before the year, and I got Clemson minus 8 against Syracuse, and the line turned out to be Clemson minus 15, so it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah, it goes good for you and bad for me.
Fair enough. Whatever. I'm fine with that.
All right. Other things I'd like to mention about this game. So it looks like Clemson is going to be changing their QBs. I think Deshaun Watson's going to be the QB going forward. What were your thoughts on him during the game? Do you think that's the right move, or is it too premature to pull Cole Stout?
I think it is the right move to play him. He reminds me of their quarterback they had for the last 4 years, Taj Boyd. And I think they played really well under him. You know, they made a couple BCS games or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I like what I saw, and I think it's the right move.
Last thing, when Jameis Winston sat out, I checked Twitter, and Florida State fans, as usual, are on top of the real problem with this situation, Dan, and that is that students are snitching.
Oh, well, that is the truth.
I don't know if you saw that, but that was, like, a big thing with Florida State students on Twitter. Jameis Winston, not that Jameis Winston was wrong, but then people should stop snitching on him on Twitter, that they would have been responsible for blowing the game.
I'm on board with that. I agree.
Yes. I think Jameis Winston, you know, should take personal responsibility and everyone's accountable for their actions. On the other hand, I am the one white guy who thinks stop snitching is the best domestic policy of the past 10 years.
I love it too.
I'm very torn.
Yep. Easy decision.
It is. Stop snitching, very underrated.
Hate snitches.
Yes. Well, you know what they say. Oregon.
I'll kill a snitch.
Oregon. Dan, would you like to snitch on them? What's wrong with them?
We were talking about Oregon snitches for a moment. I don't know any.
I would like you to snitch on Oregon and tell me what's wrong with them, what they're doing incorrectly.
Offensive line, big problem. They gave up too many sacks to Washington State. I think it was 8 or 7. I watched that game, and Oregon, I don't know if they were just not motivated. Mariota is unbelievable, and he is going to win the Heisman Trophy if he stays healthy, but if he keeps taking a beating like that, he may not make it. They need to change some things. Oregon's not, if the playoff was right now, they would lose for sure in the first round. So, they've really got to work on some stuff and improve going forward, or else they'll be in big trouble.
Okay, so I was able to get back to my hotel room after the wedding and catch just a little bit of this game into the third quarter, a little bit into the fourth. I probably saw, you know, 20 minutes of actual time. Oregon would be up 2 touchdowns, then Washington State would cut it to 1, and that sort of little game of cat and mouse would go on over and over. It was probably 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Oregon was up by 1 touchdown. Granted, I was kind of tired and it was, you know, 1:30 a.m. on the East Coast here, but I shut it off. I could have powered through and watched it, but I knew exactly what was going to happen. Oregon was going to win by somewhere between 7 and 10 points. Every year, Oregon has one or two of these games. It's always a late night game on the road, some team that you don't expect, like Washington State. To me, this happens, and it happens every year to Oregon, and they always finish with one or two losses, and they do fine. So I'm not really worried about it, although I didn't watch as much as you did. I'd like to see one or two more weeks, see if they rebound, if it was just a fluke thing, or if they have serious problems. So I'm marking it down as a not-to-worry game for now.
All right, fair enough. We'll see.
But as I said, I didn't see shit, and you watch closely.
Correct.
All right, let's move on to somebody else who's had issues. Lane Kiffin. Not having so many issues now. Bama's offense is looking pretty good, Dan.
I was so far off on the over-under wager last week. You know, it was funny. I was out and I came back 5 minutes into the game and it was 14-7. I was like, what the hell just happened? And
for those who didn't listen, you said that first one to 13 would win that game.
Yeah, I think was true. No, it wasn't. Florida was up 14-7. Just wrong all the way around. I really thought it would be a low-scoring game. Lane Kiffin's offense was amazing. That Alabama offense looked scary. They looked great. And, wow, hats off to him. I can't believe I'm saying that. But that was as good as a Bama offense has ever looked. And Florida's defense is no joke. They're very, very good. Even though their offense sucks, that defense is loaded. So great job by Kiffin. Great job by Bama. They have restored my faith as a top four playoff team.
It does seem like Blake Sims is starting to come into his own.
Hell yeah. He looked great.
Yeah. As I said last week, when you compare his stats, he compares pretty favorably to McCarron or McElroy, which is really scary if you're anyone else in the SEC.
Right.
So it's really not fair. Those sanctions against Saban have to be coming sometime soon, but till then, it just doesn't seem fair to anybody else.
Yeah. Don't worry about that.
All right. Sticking in the... in the SEC West, would you like to discuss LSU's collapse against Mississippi State? Here's one where I'll take the blame. I was totally wrong on this one. I listed probably 50 stats last week about how LSU never loses at home at night. Never happens. They don't lose to Mississippi State. Nothing happens. I saw 0% of this game, and I was pretty shocked when I found out on Sunday morning what happened.
LSU had a failed Hail Mary pass to win, and that was not even close. So, I mean, like,
what happened in this game to those who didn't watch, Dan?
Mississippi State ran the ball at will at LSU. Like, I've never seen a team just smash it right up the middle at them. That's why next week when Auburn plays them, it's going to be a serious smashing unless LSU fixes some stuff. But I did a little research today online, people who know their stuff with SEC football, and it's true. LSU has big problems with players on their defensive line, which is super rare. I mean, that never happens. They've sent so many to the NFL over the years, but this is just a weird year. So watch for them to lose maybe four games this year, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's really tough. LSU, you know,
their offense sucks. That's a whole other thing, too.
Well, man, I've been saying this for years. If LSU just had a decent quarterback, they'd be a national championship team immediately. I've heard, is Brandon Harris the freshman? I've heard rumors that he will be the new starter soon, and I think you might as well just do it. Because if you can't beat Mississippi State, then you're not going to perform up to LSU's typical standards of being a top 10, top 5 team. They've got to do something about that quarterback position. Les Miles has to get out there in the offseason.
Embarrassing.
He's got to identify the top, you know, 8 quarterbacks in the nation and just go after all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's the last good quarterback they had? And don't say Zach Mettenberger.
No, it's not him.
Matt Flynn?
Yeah, Matt Flynn. And he wasn't even that great in college. Not great in the pros by any means. But
he was a backup, too, most of his career.
Yeah, it's just embarrassing because they've had so many great running backs, wide receivers, defensive players. The list goes on and on. Special teams players, but it was bad. That was as bad as I've ever seen LSU look outside of the national title game to Alabama, and that's saying something.
Do you think that LSU's consistent turnover, everybody leaving after their junior year or as quickly as they're available, has finally caught up to them?
No, I just think that they just have no quarterback play. I think if they even had, Alabama's quarterback Sims, or even, the other guy, they would actually have a shot. It's just no quarterback play. It just wears down the defense, and they just collapse. And hats off to Dan Mullen, Mississippi State, because they really worked them. I was shocked watching that game. Absolutely shocked.
What are your thoughts on Mississippi State and how they'll fare this season?
I don't know. I mean, the only game I've seen him play is against LSU, and that's against that bad defensive line. I want to see him play against a real offensive line like Ole Miss, which we will see soon. Not sold on Mississippi State yet, but great, impressive performance by them for sure.
All right, Dan, we're about to get into the lines, but you have a warning for all the fans out there about this week before we do.
Be careful this week, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of these teams have very important games next week. Next week's is a very, very big week in college football. So you'll be hearing some of these lines and thinking, "Wow, that's kind of low," and it is. But Vegas is smart, and they've been count, you know, and they've already put into effect, to change the spread a little bit based on teams looking ahead. So be careful. Tread lightly. I first looked at these lines and wanted to go to Vegas this weekend. Now I realize I don't want to go to Vegas this weekend. So here we go. We'll start off at noon with the all-important weekly Doris Burke game of the week. That would be Penn State minus 11 home against Northwestern. Tom, you're the residential Penn State expert on this podcast. Why don't you take this one?
Okay, I will. Do you want to skip the Thursday games? I was going to get your thoughts on Thursday games just to
Ah, shit, I got all excited for Doris Burke.
do why don't you just give us a 30-second breakdown of the two games? You've got UCLA minus 4 at Arizona State, however, no Taylor Kelly, and Texas Tech plus 14 at Oklahoma State. I don't know if that counts as West Coast, but it's closer to you.
Absolutely. It really sucks for Arizona State. Taylor Kelly's out. I mean, they were looking like they're gonna have a special season. I don't know what the deal is. It'd be cool if they could pull an upset. I like UCLA minus 4, even though I live in Tampa Bay and I root for Arizona State. I'll probably stay away. Second one, Texas Tech plus 14 at Oklahoma State. Texas Tech has zero defense, like absolutely zero. But the problem is, they have no. I mean, obviously they have no total team defense, but they can stop the pass a little bit. They can't stop the run at all. I don't know if Oklahoma State can run it enough to keep it close. I would just lean the over, stay away from a side in this game. And that's pretty much your Thursday night recap.
Okay, so let me move on to the Doris Burke Watch ESPN app game of the week.
Ooh, my favorite.
By the way, the ESPN Watch ESPN app is a piece of shit. I don't know if you know this.
It's not great.
It's a brilliant design and a great concept, except you need a cable subscription to watch 92% of the games. If I have a cable subscription, ESPN, I can watch the games on cable.
I know.
Anyway, Northwestern at Penn State. Penn
Yes.
State is, I just checked this line before we started, and it's moved from 11 to 10.5. This is a really tricky one, and I would stay away. Penn State is a better team than Northwestern, but Penn State, I don't believe, is good enough to be favored by 11 or 10.5 by, over anyone in the Big Ten. Exception being maybe Purdue.
Right.
I would avoid, though. I would not take Northwestern. Northwestern's been through too much in this season and the couple weeks before. They lost two of their biggest playmakers, and they're not a team you want to put your money on this whole year. Penn State at home, 107,000 strong. That's a huge advantage, having been to that stadium many times. You know, when those people all get together and all start chanting and pounding their feet on the floor, slapping their legs, that makes a ton of noise. And it's not something that you want to go into, not the kind of environment where bad teams like Northwestern generally go in and win. So at gunpoint, I would go with Penn State. However, in reality, I'd probably stay away. And I would like to see Penn State's offensive line improve. This is a good chance for them to do that, push around a team that's not as athletic. Right. If they don't improve, Christian Hackenberg's going to end up dead by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Much as you just said with, who's the team? Oregon? Or
Oregon, yeah.
Yeah, Oregon's offensive line had issues. That's nothing compared to what Penn State's offensive line had. Penn State actually has themselves a nice little team. Some really good freshman receivers. A couple of, you know, okay, capable running backs. Hackenberg's probably one of the most underrated QBs in the country. Just because he plays for an unranked team, I think probably most people don't really watch him play. But he's a pro prospect you're going to be hearing a lot about in a couple years. And, yeah, I just think it's a little soon. If this game was at the end of the year, then I'd probably go all over Penn State. But stay away.
Cool.
Okay, do you want to take TCU minus 33 at SMU?
Yeah, SMU is not even like a real football team. Take advantage the whole year until they cover a spread or actually score any points. You have to bet against them. So even though TCU's offense isn't exactly electric, you have to lay the 33 just for a small bet and just keep moving on.
What's the situation at SMU? I know our man June Jones has stepped down, but do you know who the coach is?
No quarterback, no coach, no one cares. They've scored 2 touchdowns in 4 games so far. It's bad.
Okay, Dan. Now, here's a bigger game from the SEC, also happening at noon. Georgia, minus 17 versus Tennessee. I'm conflicted on this one. I think Tennessee's an up-and-coming team. I think Butch Jones is doing a heck of a job with limited talent and young guys. Georgia, definitely a more talented team. But, you know, you have many thoughts on Georgia. Neither of us trust Mark Richt. They're on the road, correct?
Yes. No, it's at
Georgia. Oh, it's between the hedges. Okay, so in that case, if I were going to take a team, I think I would take Georgia.
Yeah, I think this game will be close in the first half, and then Georgia will pull away late. People will get excited about Georgia again for no reason, and then they'll lose another game in the next month. So, pretty standard.
I think we're looking at a 40-20 finish in that one.
Very possible.
Moving along to some later games, 3:30. Ooh, the great FCS team, Michigan, minus 12 versus Minnesota. Dan, usually I cover the Big Ten games, but what the hell is going on with Michigan?
They're not good at all. Brady Hoke's about to be fired. They're about to change the quarterback. There was a home game against Utah last week where they got absolutely worked. There was a lightning delay. People left. Some people decided just not even come back. It was a bad scene. I don't know why they should be laying 12 points against a team that's 4-0. I don't care who Minnesota played. They're still 4-0. Take Minnesota in the 12. There's no reason to lay points with Michigan. They haven't covered any weeks the whole year. They're over. You got to just keep riding hot streaks, just like you got to keep fading SMU. Take Minnesota in the 12 and hopefully it's a close game.
Is Brady Hoke going to survive the season?
If they lose Saturday, no.
Do you think he would be fired immediately after that game? Do you think they'll... Okay.
Immediately. If they lose at home to Minnesota, he's gone before kickoff for the early games NFL Sunday.
And you believe that would be warranted?
Mm-hmm. It's Michigan. You're a failure. Ohio State is, I'm not saying Ohio State's the best team in the country, but they're a lot better than Michigan, and they're their rivals, so...
All right, Dan, let's talk about Michigan for a minute more. And no disrespect to Minnesota, but they're by far the least interesting team in this matchup. Minnesota's all right, though. I'm with you. I'd take the 12. Michigan, who should their coach be? I think it's pretty clear Brady Hoke is done after this year, if not sooner. What do they do next? I've heard rumors try to go out and get a guy like Les Miles or pull Saban away. I think that seems unrealistic on both counts. What do you think? They like to go with Michigan guys. Tom Brady retires and becomes the coach?
No.
Scott Drysback?
Well, maybe. Maybe him. Okay, hold on. Let me think about this for a second. New coach for Michigan. Who would be good? Well, all right, here's one that would be very interesting. Former Ohio State coach Jim Tressel. What do you think about that?
Dan, you stole my idea. Now, of course, before they hired the great Bob Diaco, I led the charge of Jim Tressel to UConn, which I thought was, I think he's overqualified, but because of the pseudo scandal, which seems like nothing now, he would be great. Jim Tressel's just an awesome coach, and you know he's an awesome coach because everybody else who likes any other team in the Big Ten can't stand him.
I know. And here's what's going on now in the conference that is called the Big Ten, even though there's more than 10 teams. You got the Michigan State's got a powerhouse coach in Mike D'Antonio. Ohio State's got a powerhouse coach in Urban Meyer. So Michigan needs a guy who's a powerhouse coach, and Jim Tressel's a proven winner in the Big Ten. He knows how to recruit. It would really piss off Ohio State fans, which would be an excellent little thing. I think he would win there easily. If you want to go outside of that, you can go for a hot offensive coordinator or something like that. But I'm honest, I'm serious. Jim Tressel, it makes the most sense, is the best hire. Or if you could somehow convince the San Francisco 49ers to trade you Harbaugh or the guy from the Ravens. Either Harbaugh, because each of them, I don't think they're going to be coaching in the NFL much longer. The guy in the Ravens has some heat. Guy on the Niners, they're kind of in turmoil. They got their own heat with plenty of domestic abuse and drinking and driving and stuff. So watch out for a Harbaugh or a Tressel to end up in Ann Arbor.
Okay, I'm going to move my mic closer to me, ignore the sound. And oh, that was pretty smooth. I did it without making any loud noise. All right, now I have a lot of thoughts on what you just said. Number one, I have actually heard rumors that John Harbaugh of the Ravens will be the Michigan coach before the season ends,
Wow.
which is a weird one. But when you look at the situations at each school, I mean, Brady Hoke being gone wouldn't surprise anyone. I think if Harbaugh wanted to go to Michigan, his alma mater, I believe you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. If he wanted to go there, that was his dream job, which I have a feeling that most smart coaches think that for longevity, your best bet is to go to a college program. I think that's just obvious. You're not going to have a really long coaching career in the NFL unless you're on the Steelers.
True.
So if he wants to go to Michigan, and why, there's nothing saying he doesn't because it seems like a smart move. He could definitely get out of Baltimore
For sure.
using the whole Ray Rice thing. Sort of, it would seem like a good move on all accounts, I think, or not a good move, but I think it would be understandable from all sides. The
Yes.
Ravens wanted to, make him a scapegoat or clean house a little bit after that whole thing. He wants to get out, and he'll be seen as a victim if that happened because he didn't really do anything about Ray Rice.
Right.
I don't know. The Tressel one would be the best, even though I think it's unlikely. What I would really love to see is they hire Jim Tressel, wait till this off season, hire Tressel, and then Tressel, who I believe, I could be wrong, but he was the one who recruited Braxton Miller originally, correct?
Yes.
So he's got a relationship there. He convinces Braxton Miller, now that JT Barrett's been okay at Ohio State, to transfer to Michigan. And then in a couple of years, you've got Tressel and Braxton Miller on Michigan squaring off against Urban Meyer and JT Barrett at Ohio State.
Why not? I would
To
love it.
me, that would put the Big Ten right back in the national picture. That would be awesome.
It'd be fantastic. I would
So
love
of course it won't happen. What will happen is they'll hire a coach from Ball State.
Yep, it's gonna be horrible.
So that is actually my prediction. I have no idea who the Ball State coach is, but I think he
Marshall's head coach. Marshall's head coach. Everything
Ooh.
undefeated.
Possibly. Or BYU's head coach.
Yeah, and he'll be a failure.
Yeah. So anyway, Michigan, you suck.
Oh.
And let's move on to a team that doesn't suck, which is Florida State. You can look at that last game against Clemson many ways. I prefer to look at it as this team had a quarterback who never played before, by all accounts, wasn't very good. as I said, I didn't see the game, but everybody pretty much says that he wasn't great.
No, he was terrible.
And they still managed to gut out a win. Now, Dan, they go to North Carolina State, which we have said every year we've done this podcast or my column, we say watch out whenever Florida State plays NC State, especially when it's at NC State.
Night game.
And especially when it's at night. Now, this one is 3:30, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's not great, but what do you think?
It's too many points. People will think, oh, with Jameis Winston back, they're going to roll him. And I think NC State's going to come out and actually have an early lead somehow, and then Florida State's going to win the game in the second half. But I like NC State and the points in this one.
So it's plus 19. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yep, I'll take that.
I'm totally with you. I don't think NC State pulls another miraculous upset in this one, but yeah. I would take the points, and yeah. I would sweat it out the whole game. So yeah. It's best to do that and not watch, probably. I am a little partial to the under in that game, too. I think 58's a little high for these teams.
It sounds good, too.
But I don't know. It'll probably end up around 50. I would like to talk about a couple other games that you do not have on your list here. I will be very brief.
Sounds good.
Number one, Army at Yale. This is a 1 p.m. game on Saturday. It is the 100th birthday of the Yale Stadium,
ooh,
which Yale students use to pitch to College Game Day that this should be the College Game Day game of the week. Of course, College Game Day instead will be going to South Carolina, Missouri. Now, Yale students, I want to give me a second. I want to read this. This is from the Hartford Courant, our local newspaper. The headline is ESPN snubs Army Yale, takes College Game Day to SC. And the first paragraph, in a society that seems to view the newest sensation with more excitement than most things old and dependable, it likely didn't surprise Yale on Sunday when ESPN decided it would not host College Game Day from the Yale Bowl on Saturday. Yale Army's a shitty game, Dan, and yeah, College Game Day should not be going there, no matter what anniversary it is. South Carolina, Missouri isn't the cream of the crop exactly. I mean, there are better games week to week, but come on, Army at Yale. I mean, they'll go to Army Navy at the end of the year.
Seriously.
Maybe if it was Yale Harvard, you could pitch that. But, maybe. Like, come on. You're supposed to be smarter than that, Yale. And as a Connecticut resident and someone who's far too dumb to get into Yale, even I knew that.
Well, yeah, it's true.
A couple other games I want to mention quickly. Pittsburgh minus 20 against Akron. They're at home. Akron comes into Pittsburgh. Fuck you, Pittsburgh, is what I'd like to say. After I said that you were going to win the ACC Coastal and I picked you in the Doresburg game of the week last week, you then go on to lose to Iowa, who is horrible. So you're done for the year, Pitt.
Yeah.
You are on my Mark Richt no-fly zone betting
list. Ooh, that is a horrible list to be on.
Yep. It's Mark Richt, Pittsburgh. Michigan State has an honorary lifetime spot on that, but they've been taken off temporarily.
Hmm.
Next game, Maryland at Indiana. Indiana, I think we need to give some credit for the big upset against Mizzou.
Yeah, impressive.
And Maryland had the powerful win over Syracuse, Dan.
Yeah, Syracuse is apparently no good. They beat a Central Michigan squad that's no good. So, awful. Awful game by Syracuse. I was very disappointed.
So, yeah. So, Maryland, Indiana. I just wanted to give credit to Indiana, who is going to be one of those teams that finishes 5-7, but somehow upsets your favorite team, whatever your favorite team is. Like, if you're a Michigan fan, you're going to lose to Indiana, and Indiana's going to be 5-7, and you're going to be like, how the fuck did we lose to Indiana?
I agree. 100%.
It's because they're sneaky good this year, mm-hmm. And Maryland's going to be the same way. You're going to be a Nebraska fan, you're going to be like, how did we lose to Maryland? But it's going to happen.
It's true.
All right, so let's get back on track, Dan. I know you've got thoughts. Oh, actually, man, we've got a few before your lock of the week. Almost skipped ahead. Okay. Arkansas plus 9 at Texas A&M. Over under 69.5.
Right. A&M's next three games, Mississippi State, Alabama, Ole Miss. This is a look ahead game for them. People aren't giving Arkansas enough respect. That being said, I'm not going to take Arkansas on the road at that stadium. It's too crazy. Take the over. Arkansas is going to run the ball all day. A&M's going to throw the ball all day. Look for some score, 40s, 40s for each. Just take the over. Have some fun with that one.
Okay, I want to just skip UConn for a moment and focus on the same idea of the look-ahead week. Auburn minus 33 versus La Tech.
Yep, Auburn's got LSU next week. This is a standard look-ahead spot. Louisiana Tech just lost to a Division II school last week. Auburn should be favored by 40, 45. Vegas has adjusted it down to under 5 touchdowns. Even though it's, you know, a bad Louisiana Tech team that just, you know, got blown out by, or, you know, or not blown out, but they lost to a D2 team. And I love Auburn. Maybe put an Auburn first half bet in, maybe.
So that's what I was going to suggest. I don't know the line. It's probably not out yet, but
probably like
it's probably going to be about 20, 21. Yeah. Any chance, actually, I think there's a very good chance that Auburn would want to just sort of get this one wrapped up as quickly as possible so they can sit Nick Marshall and move along.
So, yeah.
So I'm going to be looking for that when that first half line comes out later in the week. If it's around, you know,
21.
I would say if it's under 21, I'm going to take it.
Right, I agree.
If I can win on 21, then I'm good.
Sounds good.
All right, and another look ahead is Stanford minus 8 at Washington. Stanford could be in big trouble here, I think.
Yeah, again, Stanford's got Notre Dame next week. I don't think Stanford's that great. They've lost a lot of their key kind of team leaders, the NFL, the Shane Scoves, you know, those type of guys. Washington sneaky with Chris Peterson. I'll take the 8 points at home. I kind of like Washington plus 8 in this spot.
I really like Washington in this spot. Washington's no Louisiana Tech. They're a capable team. I don't know if I'd call them great, but they can cover this. I mean, they could win this game outright. I think it's possible. I think this is going to be one of those ones where Stanford has to get it together in the fourth quarter and make a comeback win. And, I think if you take Washington in the 8, some point in the fourth quarter, Washington's going to be ahead by 3, and you're going to be looking pretty good.
Right.
All right, Dan, should we bother with Temple minus 5 at UConn?
Absolutely, we should talk about that.
Okay, for once, I have no thoughts on UConn, so
UConn is the worst team in the country. They played South Florida last week. There was a great article on ESPN.com talking about how just terrible UConn is, like going into like extreme like math details. Here's how their offense went last week. It'd be like run, incomplete, punt. Punt, like, I'm not lying, like their first 12 positions were all punts, like instantly. They had a fluke, like late touchdown pass. They can't beat anyone. They're the worst team in the whole country. I'll take Temple minus 5 all day, every day in this spot.
So I actually watched this game. I was out at the main pub.
Oh.
Yeah, a Manchester staple watching this game. It was awful, as it usually is between these two teams. But Temple, man, they are just bad.
UConn's a whole nother level bad. Whole nother level.
At what point do both teams become too bad for you to bet either way?
At this point with UConn, there is no way I would not put money against them. I think they're the worst team in the whole country.
So what you're saying is not only would you never bet on UConn this year, but you will always bet against them.
Every week, yes. I don't care what the spread is.
Okay. Do you think that there is a curse around UConn, much like the Aaron Hernandez curse around Florida, or do you think it's just, you know, they just suck this year and maybe next year they'll be back to, you know, 4-8?
I just think they're really horrible. They don't have a good head coach. They don't got good players. There's just a total mess. It's going to be 8 to 10 years before they might turn it around, if ever. You know, the problem with that is, you know, UConn is always going to be a basketball school. It's in New England. There's not a football culture there. It's just kind of how, like, in the SEC, you have the University of Kentucky. They're a basketball school, football second. UConn's always going to be like that. They're never going to be, you know, a powerhouse or even like a top 25 team. They're always going to be junk. It's just how awful they are. And this year they'll be especially awful.
All right, Dan. So I think it's fair to say that our UConn versus Syracuse for the season bet is off, thanks to Casey Cochran, that really makes it totally unfair.
Good.
Although Syracuse does suck.
They're horrible.
But they're still leagues better than UConn. So I'm going to call that bet off. But what I'm going to do is I am going to vow right now that UConn will win one more game this season.
Ooh, okay.
And I don't know what it is, but when that time comes, I will tell you and we will put down a wager. Some sort of, you know, I send you a DP dough and you send me an Arizona Mexican dish or something like that.
Carne asada burrito.
Yeah, the classic mayoral bet that mayors do, where even if you win, you lose. Or even if you lose, you win, rather.
I like.
So I'll tell you when that comes, and it's not going to be this week.
Fair enough.
All right, Dan. Why don't we just go to your lock of the month, actually. I'm reading this.
Yes. Cincinnati plus 14 at Ohio State. Cincinnati, week one, looked amazing against Toledo. Then they played a very, very sloppy game. It was, you know, kind of rainy. There was a look-ahead game to Ohio State. But they have a great offense, great head coach. Ohio State's not that good, shitty defense. Since he's going to score on them a lot, I love the 14. It's my favorite play, not only of the week, but of the whole season so far. Love Cincinnati plus 14 this week. Love it.
So, Dan, I'll tell the listeners that before this podcast, sometime usually during the day, we record these at night. You know, right now it's Tuesday night. Usually that same day we'll send each other emails with just thoughts of games we want to cover. I was going to say we prepare, but I'd use that word very loosely. It's just a list of games we like with maybe three words next to each game. Here's what you wrote. You wrote lock of the month followed by, I can't really count it, but I'm going to estimate 24 exclamation points.
That's fair. Yes.
Lock of the month in all caps. With roughly 24 exclamation points.
I really think Cincinnati could win this game outright.
So this is one I had no opinion, but just based on your capitalization and exclamation points, I'm going with Cincy.
Oh, yeah, love Cincy. And if by chance you can get them over 14, that would be amazing. So keep an eye on that.
It was 14.5 when I checked, so people should jump on that.
Oh, I'll be all over that.
Clemson, minus 15. Against North Carolina.
Really hard to see where Clemson's at after last week's win. North Carolina got worked by East Carolina. This one's a total kind of stay away, I think.
Yeah, as we mentioned, you've got a new quarterback starting for Clemson, I believe. I don't know if that's been made official yet, but rumor on the street is that Deshaun Watson will be your new quarterback for Clemson. I think he's really good. I think he's got a lot of potential. He is a freshman. Stay away for now. But North Carolina's no good. ACC Coastal, no good.
No, not at
all. If a team is in the ACC Coastal, do not bet on them this year.
Agree.
Speaking of which, Duke, plus 7 at Miami. And now I'm going to retract everything I just said. Duke is going to win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to win. Miami's not good. They're just not a good team. I kind of like Duke to win outright. Simple as that. So I'm not going to bet him on the money line, but I'll be sure to take the 7.
Okay. College game day, game of the week, the aforementioned Missouri plus 6 at South Carolina. Thoughts?
Right. Missouri clearly had a situation last week where they played Indiana and they were looking ahead to this week. South Carolina, everyone thinks is amazing because they beat Georgia. These two teams are actually a very, very very, very close, and they're very similar. I hope this line goes up to about 7, and I'll take Missouri at 7.
Were you able to watch Missouri get beat by Indiana?
Well, of course I had to watch it because they were part of my 4-team 13-point tease.
Oh, that's correct.
Knocked me out. I just needed them to just only win the game. I had them at a pick.
So break it down for me. What went wrong? And not, you know, people have seen the game or they can look up highlights, but what is it Missouri's did poorly?
It was just a combination of the small errors, penalties, you know, pass interference that was unnecessary, stuff like that, you know, sloppy offense, you know, horrible play calling, just a weird game. They just were not interested in playing Indiana. They thought it was going to be a joke. They saw Indiana play a mid-major team in Bowling Green the week before and win 45-42. So, they kind of overlook them in a few ways. So, I think this game will be really close. It's a game day day game. It's a CBS College Game of the Day with Vern Lundquist, which is always close. So, take the points. Hopefully, you get around a touchdown. Yeah, there you go.
Ole Miss minus 20 against Memphis. A
Yeah,
look ahead
this.
game, Dan.
Yeah, Ole Miss is home against Alabama next week. That's the game of the year. This is a huge, huge look ahead spot. That being said, I'm still betting Ole Miss because they've been so impressive at this point. I think they're the most underrated team in the whole country.
You've
I think.
got them at probably your fifth best team in the country, is what you said last week. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
correct. Exactly. And I think they're still there. I'm gonna lay the 20. I think they're gonna win something like 34-3 or something like that. Their defense is just unbelievable. But yeah, it's a look ahead spot, so don't go crazy on this one. When I was first looking at these lines on Sunday, I saw that minus 20 and I almost jumped out of my seat. And then I realized fucking Alabama next week. So yeah, be careful with this one.
Yeah, we say it every week, but damn, the SEC West is just unfair. I mean, Ole Miss has taken another step up. They're, as you said, they're a top 10, maybe top 5 team. Mississippi State showed that they're legitimate by beating LSU. It's not like LSU sucks. I mean, they just ran into a stellar opponent. And then Arkansas, who was the doormat last year, they look competitive this year.
And like also keep in mind that in that first week of the season, LSU played against Wisconsin, who has Melvin Gordon, who just ran for 250 yards on 13 carries, and people think he's the next like superstar NFL back, like a Kansas City Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles. So they were able to shut him down, but then Mississippi State shows up, at a night game at LSU and runs it down their throat. So that just shows you how great the SEC is. So Mississippi State, in theory, would beat the shit out of Wisconsin. So think about that.
All right, Dan, would you like to comment on New Mexico State coming to LSU?
No, it's not going to be good. LSU is going to be like actually hurt people. It's going to be physical and ugly.
This game, the over-under is 54.5, and I do believe LSU could get that on their own.
Yes, but I
Plus,
still
you've got what I call the sine curve game, where LSU loses a kind of semi-embarrassing loss, and now they're just going to want to take it out on New Mexico State.
correct.
So, the line at 42.5 seems a little high, but the over under, if you're going to do the line, you might as well do the over under, is my thought.
I agree.
Okay. Washington State goes to Utah. Utah's favored by 13. Both of these teams look a lot better than I would have expected this year. Do you have any
Yeah,
thoughts on either of them?
completely agree. Utah looked really good against Michigan, but we know Michigan is a piece of trash at this point. Washington State played really well against Oregon, but again, that was their Super Bowl night game, blah, blah, blah. Mike Leach, passing attack, whole nine yards. So I don't know how much I don't know how much energy they have left in the tank for this one. Utah's a super hard place to play. So I would lean towards taking Utah, but I'll probably stay away from this game. It's pretty hard to read.
My new thought is with the Pac-12, I'm taking the points in almost every game. These teams are really competitive, and while they might not be as good as the SEC, there's a lot of really good teams. Even the basement teams are pretty decent.
That's
And
fair.
unless it's maybe Colorado involved, I think I'm taking any 13-point spread in the Pac-12. All right, let's get into the big night games. And by big, I mean Notre Dame at Syracuse.
And by at, you mean at the Meadowlands, correct?
Yes.
So,
But
yeah.
it doesn't matter because there's more Syracuse fans in New York City than there are in Syracuse.
Yeah, but there'll still be half Notre Dame fans. Anyway, Notre Dame minus 13, a little bit shady. I was thinking this line should be more like 17 or 20. And of course, I see Notre Dame's playing Stanford next week. Classic look ahead. That being said, I still like Notre Dame because I think Syracuse is horrible, but I'm not going to go super crazy with it.
Do you think Notre Dame's a legitimate top 10 team?
No.
Explain yourself.
they're just overrated. You know, they just get too much coverage because of name. People get excited about their hot start because they blew out Michigan. Michigan also got blown out at home by Utah. People aren't going crazy about Utah, are they? You know, people think, well, you know, they played in the national title game a couple of years ago. I think Notre Dame is outside the top 10. I think if, like, Notre Dame played against LSU, LSU would still beat them.
Okay, I'm taking Notre Dame in this game. I see your point, playing Stanford next week. Man, Syracuse, though.
Brutal.
Yeah, I couldn't, especially as you mentioned. So New York City, there's three teams, basically. Maybe four. Notre Dame is absolutely huge in New York City. Syracuse is very big, but that's mostly basketball. Penn State is absolutely huge in New York City. They say Rutgers is huge in New York City, but mostly that's Hoboken, New Jersey, Jersey City, the suburbs. I don't count that as New York City.
No.
And then Michigan is surprisingly huge in New York City. I think just because it's a huge university that graduates a lot of, you know, intelligent people that pick, you know, they could go to Chicago, but they grow up, you know, you live in Michigan, you grow up hating Chicago. So you go to New York. People from all over go to New York, and Michigan's a huge university. But for some reason, there's just a ton of Michigan people there. So any of those teams playing around New York or in the Meadowlands have somewhat of a home field advantage. So you're right. There is no home field advantage for Syracuse in this game. It's going to be a 50-50 split for sure. So Notre Dame playing in front of a very friendly crowd, minus 13 against a team that's not very good. I see no reason not to take Notre Dame. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But this would be one of those ones where I still would feel I made the right choice, even if I lost the bet.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Notre Dame's the right side.
And if you pick Syracuse, even if you win the bet, you still were wrong.
Exactly.
All right, Dan, you want to get into Oregon State plus 10 at USC as our West Coast expert?
It's a little bit of an interesting one. You know, Oregon's got their 12th-year quarterback, Sean Mannion, still back. Or not. Maybe he's in the NFL. It doesn't really matter. But USC is a little bit undervalued here because that loss to BC. That was a weird game in Boston College. I found out after the fact that there was some sort of, like, thing for some kid in Boston, I don't know, who may have died from the marathon bombing or something like that. They, like, wore a red handkerchief.
Yeah.
I don't know the details, as you can tell, but they were very impressive, and they beat up on USC. USC's had a bye week to prepare. I like them laying 10. I think that's a bit light at home this week.
Okay, now here is one where maybe we'll disagree. Our last game of the week, Baylor, who we haven't talked about in a while, considering our love affair with Baylor, Dan.
I love them.
I've got them in the playoff this year. You don't, but you're a huge, huge fan.
Yep.
They're minus 22 at Iowa State. I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, next week, even though it may not look like a marquee matchup, you got Art Briles and his Baylor Bears traveling to Austin, Texas to play Charlie Strong and UT. You know,
well, that is a marquee matchup because it's in-state.
That's why, because if you've ever been to Austin or been within the state of Texas, you should know that they don't think they're part of the United States. It's its own country. So, like, this is a big deal for Art Briles and Baylor to play Texas. So they might overlook this Iowa State game. It's a night game. It's Iowa State Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. I say it all the time. However, Baylor is coming off a week off. They are healthy at wide receiver. Bryce Petty's another, you know, 2 weeks healthy. It should be able to light him up. With the spread being minus 22, first half line should be something like 14. I like a small bet on the first half, and that's it for the game. You probably like Baylor more than me, but go ahead.
Wrong, Dan. I like Iowa State in this game.
Oh, my God.
Iowa State playing at home is shady as fuck. They always have been. Doesn't matter how good the team is. Something happens with Iowa State, and they're never good, but then a team who's great like Baylor comes in and somehow escapes with a 10-point win. Take the points.
Fair enough.
And that doesn't seem like a good argument, but Iowa State's not a good team. There's no logic behind it. It's the mysticism that is college football. And I have one more line before we get into your Dan Partridge light your money on fire four-team tease of the week.
0-for-1, by the way, but go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. I really like Nevada, -5 at San Jose State. As mentioned, Greg Robinson, the horrible, horrible defensive coordinator of Michigan and Syracuse fame, has moved on to San Jose State. Nevada, pretty solid team. They've got a good quarterback and they've got some weapons. And I don't see them having a problem putting up, you know, beating San Jose State by more than 5.
That's a very valid point. Mr. Robinson is indeed the worst coordinator in all of college football. So when in doubt, you're going to want to go ahead and fire all overs involving San Jose State. So there you go.
And I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure I remember San Jose's put up 7 points last week against good team.
Against Minnesota.
Yes, Minnesota. Minnesota, not any better than Nevada.
Valid point.
So lay it.
I like it.
That's my lock of the week, Dan.
I like it.
All right, now it's time for our hottest new segment. Dan Partridge's Light Your Money on Fire, 4-team, 13-point tease.
That is correct, folks.
Why don't we recap last week, Dan?
Last week, what went wrong? I lost Missouri. They were -14. I teased them down to -1, and they lost outright. So there you go.
Okay, so hit me with it. What are your 4 teams for this week?
4-team, 13-point teaser. Cincinnati +27. Ole Miss -7. Notre Dame and a pick against Syracuse, and I'm actually going to make a change on this last one, Tom. I'm going to change it to your ACC matchup, the Duke Blue Devils +20 at Miami.
Not bad, not bad at all.
So there you go, you got.
So Cincy, you're getting 27 points against Ohio State. Ole Miss needs to win against Memphis by only 7. Yep. Notre Dame needs to simply win against the Syracuse Orange. And then, what was the final one?
The Duke? ACC matchup.
Okay, so Duke +20 at Miami.
How do I lose this one?
Well, as always, with a 4-team, 13-point tease, this seems easily winnable. It seems like it's impossible for you to lose this.
It's so perfect.
But, of course, you always will lose because these are impossible. Now, Notre Dame will beat Syracuse. I think that goes without saying. Ole Miss by 7 against Memphis. To me, like you said, Ole Miss might not cover the 20, but I don't see how they could not cover 7.
Me neither.
It's possible they could tie that. Now, what happens on a push, Dan? Do you win? If you push one game.
You lose. You lose the whole thing.
Okay, so there could be an Ole Miss 7-point win. That's one possibility. Cincy +27's coming in.
Yep.
The only other option is Duke gets blown out. Miami's quarterback, Brad Kaye, has his breakout game and wins by 31.
Nope.
So I'm going to say Ole Miss wins by exactly 7 is how you'll lose.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it.
And second option is Duke getting destroyed.
All right. We'll see what happens. I'm 0-for-1. I'm feeling good about this week.
All right, Dan. Before we end, this is where I ask for your help. This weekend, Saturday to be exact, I am starting a new fantasy league. Now, you're probably asking yourself out there, what fantasy season starts in the last Saturday of September? You will not be able to guess this because it is a fantasy league that has never existed in the history of mankind. My brother Dave, who you know for his crazy ideas, has started what we call a fantasy felon league. We will be drafting, I believe, 8 to 10 players from all professional sports or college football.
Wow.
And points will be awarded for each felony, misdemeanor, transgression,
suspension,
recruiting violation, anything you can imagine.
I love it.
So, Dan, help me out. Who are the number one picks in each of the professional sports and college football?
Oh, my God.
Oh, and let me throw, there's one retired player is allowed as well.
Okay. All
And
right.
the
Well,
other thing I should add before you pick is that additional charges that are incurred after this count. So Aaron Hernandez, for example, is in jail. However, if he is convicted on these charges or if new charges are added, that's a whole lot of points. So it doesn't have to be just the first incident. So let's start with college football, Dan. Jameis Winston, clear number one.
Yeah, absolutely. Famous Jameis, no doubt.
I've told a few people and they've told me you got to just go Southern football, SEC, Miami, Florida State. Don't waste your time with anyone else. I think Oklahoma's got a few sleepers.
Yeah, they do. Oregon always does too.
Okay, any sleepers you like in college football?
Not really. I think Famous Jameis is clearly ahead. He's been in trouble, I think, 4 times now. So we got a
He
couple more left.
Jameis might be the number one overall pick. That's what I'm expecting.
He's great. I love it.
Now, NFL is a tough one. You've
Ooh, yeah,
got
there's so
Ray
many in the
Rice.
NFL.
Unfortunately, Ray Rice will not likely be charged, and he's already been, dropped from the Ravens. So I don't see a lot of points coming in the future.
Aaron Hernandez.
Peterson, same thing. Aaron Hernandez, I think, is a pretty good pickup.
It's got to be Aaron Hernandez because there'll be more charges and convictions and more murders, and he was involved pretty, like I don't know, he was very involved. So watch for him to really pay the price here in the next year.
Now, I believe he might fall under the category of retired players.
Well, yes, he's kind of like in fantasy football where you start two running backs, two receivers, and a flex. So you can start him in your flex at retired slash NFL.
Retired slash incarcerated. Now, Dan, on the topic of Hernandez, you've talked about the Hernandez curse many times.
Yeah,
I
it's
just want
real.
to let you know that there's an episode of Real Sports on HBO coming up where Urban Meyer talks about the championship season with Tebow, and I believe Hernandez was on that team. He lost something like 37 pounds and became addicted to Ambien. You might want to watch it. It could be a lot more,
I'm in.
it could be more data for your Aaron Hernandez curse.
Thank you for the heads up. I will inspect that and report back for the next podcast.
Okay, how about NBA? NBA is a tricky one, Dan.
Ooh,
There's just so many
NBA.
choices.
There's so many choices in the NBA. I'm gonna go with Mr. Cocaine and Child Porn himself, Miami Heat forward Birdman Chris Anderson.
That's a tough one. I don't think child porn is even on the list of
Well,
points.
it should be. That is not good.
It should be, but it seems so unlikely. It's something that we might have to add it in. All right, I
He's
like.
been arrested for cocaine possession. He's failed like 5 tests. Then he had like an FBI like agent show up at his house and charge him with child porn. So sounds like I'm going with him for now.
Do we know what happened? Was he doing research like Pete Townsend?
Pete Townsend was 100% looking at child porn. That was bullshit. This allegedly is someone hacked his computer and put the porn on his computer. I don't know how that works.
That sounds very spurious as well.
That's very
Nobody
sneaky.
hacks your phone and puts stuff on it. They usually hack it
Yeah.
and take the stuff off.
That's basically the first thing I thought of. So I don't know what he's into. He does have tattoos everywhere. Cocaine's a hell of a drug. I mean, it's really hard to say.
All right, baseball. Josh Hamilton, I like him. He
Oh
seems like
yeah.
a nice guy, but he seems like a clear number one pick.
Yasiel Puig, dude, his shit is gonna go down with him. I mean, people aren't aware about his like dude, there's a lot of stuff going on with Yasiel Puig. First of all, he left Cuba and ended up in Mexico. In Mexico, he was like, shit, I'm not in the right country, I have to get to America. So who takes him over the border? The Mexican cartel. Well, the cartel, now that he's famous, wants some money, and he's like, no, I'm not going to pay you. So, like, he's chilling around LA, which is probably, like, the worst city you can play for if you pissed off the cartel, by the way. And there's, like, cartel guys, like, show up at his, like, house, and they, like, show up at the games, and they look at him and shit. It's not good. Watch out for Puig. It's going to be a serious event going down.
Is this true? How come I've never heard of any of this?
I'm serious. Go
Is this a
online.
known story? Am I just
Yes.
clueless on baseball?
Yes. Well,
I mean, I am clueless on baseball, but does everybody know about this? Because that sounds insane. That seems like it should be leading SportsCenter every single day.
No one talks about it. Go online and do some research. I'm serious. Puig is wanted by the cartel. The cartel thinks that he owes some money and he's not paying. And we know how this adds up.
Okay. I'm going to, for legal reasons, I'm going to throw in an allegedly on all of this.
No, it's all true. I'm going to disregard what you just said.
Okay. What does that leave? Hockey. I really need help on hockey, Dan.
Hockey's really hard. I'm going to go with, let's see, Pittsburgh Penguins have had some real goons over the years. Let me think. Matt Cook, who now plays in Ottawa, he's been known to actually, like, hit people really hard, so they might actually have to, like, call the police to get him, you know, in trouble for, like, you know, assault. I'm serious. So probably Matt Cook in hockey.
Yeah, I mean, just something as simple as a couple of bar fights, you know. It's only a few points. It's not as much as a murder, but you can rack up, you know, a few points here and there. It's like having a running back who gets a lot of carries but doesn't necessarily put it in the end zone.
Yeah.
Any other sleepers from any of the leagues?
NBA has a whole bunch. DeMarcus Cousins.
Ooh, that's a good one. He might be off the board by the time I get to make a pick.
Yeah, he's up to no good.
My thoughts, Dan, for retired player, I feel like Brett Favre is due.
He's been
coaching high school sports. I could see some activity with one of the high school students come into play.
That's very, very likely.
If I get the Mr. Irreverent pick, I feel like Tim Tebow has been too good for too long.
I like that one.
And he's the curse of Hernandez has to catch up with him. Tebow's due for a dick pick, I think.
Okay.
Dick picks count as points also in this league.
I have one more for you. Ryan Leaf.
Ooh.
Who I believe just got out of jail in Montana for breaking into someone's home and taking prescription pills. This guy was the number two pick in the NFL draft and signed a $50 million contract. Think about that.
That's good. Yep. Prescription pills are a recipe for disaster.
They're too strong. They're the worst thing about the whole country. I'm serious. Fucking prescription pills.
Oh, I agree. But their loss is my gain. I'm going to get some points off of this.
There you go. Ryan Leaf.
All right, Dan. Anything else to add? Football, felons, or otherwise?
No, I was going to go up to Laughlin, Nevada this weekend to bet some games. But I'm thinking I'm not going to in the end. So I'm just going to kind of hang low. Watch him here. Really sucks Taylor Kelly's out for Arizona State. I can't stress that enough. People are pretty pissed off around here. So, I don't know. It should be an interesting week. Watch out for some upsets because next week we got a big slate. So, do your research this week because next week is a very important week.
All right. Subscribe to the... I can never do these...
Podcast, tweet, feed... Twitter.
Whenever I try to do the promotional parts, I just flub it. It's my brain's telling me not to be a salesperson. Our podcast is out there on the internet. If you want our podcast, please visit the internet.
Yeah. That's basically the easiest way to do it. Just go to a computer and then, you know, figure it out from there. It's not that hard.
You can just talk to your computer now, I think. By the way, Siri, obviously this doesn't work anymore, but if you... ask Siri who's the best team in the NFL on Saturday or Sunday. The Buffalo Bills.
She was confused. But
yes. You're worried robots are going to take over, they're not there yet.
Right. They got some issues, the Bills. I don't really want to talk about it.
No, we're not going to waste people's time with that.
Okay, good.
All right, takethepoints.net. That's the website. And it's on iTunes and the podcast app on your phone.
Look at that.
And you can get it there. And that's it. And we're going to be back next week with a lot of good games.
Yes, sir.
And hopefully you won't lose all your money this week.
50-50.
All right. That's it. See you later. Bye.
Later. Take the point.
the point.